What will you be remembered for? It's a question I ask myself often. What will I be remembered for? If 2020 does not happen on planet Earth, and we finish out the year, and the Lord comes back, what will you be remembered for? It's a pretty good question, I think, in the Christian world, Christian circles. What will you, as a Christ one, be remembered for? The success of your business? The things you have? Popularity? Acceptance in the circles that you work? What will you be remembered for? I remember, before I was saved, God pursuing me. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the Holy Spirit was convicting me. It was a miserable time in my life. I can honestly say that. I was a miserable person. Didn't know how to get saved, but God was faithful to pursue me. And he didn't let me go. And I haven't watched these videos prior to tonight. But the pursuit of God for me was matched by my pursuit of him. And we came together at the place called Calvary. And I understood for the first time that he had died for my sins. God pursued me. And the question I ask you this evening, are you pursuing God? Today, are you pursuing God? Does your life indicate a pursuit of God? Honestly, it's not even written in my notes here, but I've been thinking about this, and I think it'll tie in with what we're going to speak on tonight. We're going to speak about the character Ruth. Now, most of you know that I'm a romantic. Not a romantic, but this is a love story. Four chapters, the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth shows a lot about her character. And we have the main characters. Most of you are familiar with the book of Ruth. We're going to kind of go and just look quickly at the book of Ruth. The storyline, the plot, the setting, the conflict, and the resolution of that conflict. We're going to start in chapter 4. We're kind of going to go, the end result was that Ruth, as we know, married Boaz, who was her kinsman redeemer. And through that, the generations, eventually God in his providence kept that line, family line open, and eventually the Lord Jesus was born through that family line. That's the end result. God had a plan. But we see through the book of Ruth lots of conflict, lots of hardship. Ruth was a Moabite. Let's go back. Let's start in chapter 1. Naomi and Elimelech were from Bethlehem, Judah. And there was a great famine in the land. A famine meaning no food. We couldn't relate to that in our country today. But there was no food, so much so that Elimelech decided to move his family to a place where there was food. And that place was Moab, which was an enemy of Israel, but there was food there. And so Naomi, Elimelech, moved to this place called Moab. And they moved with their two sons. Mahalon, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, in Chilion. Anyway, two boys, two parents, moved from Bethlehem, Judah to Moab, about 50, 60 kilometers away, where there was food. And through the course of time, Elimelech, shortly after they moved there, Elimelech dies. Now Naomi's a widow with her two sons. Her two sons marry Moabite girls, Ruth and Oprah. We go all way off the wrong track if it's Oprah, but no, it's not Oprah. So they marry two Moabite men. Through the course of time, those two men die. So here's Naomi, lost her husband, lost her two sons-in-law, and now she's with two daughters-in-law. Three deaths. Hardship. Think about it. Put yourself in Naomi's place. In a foreign country, lost the main breadwinner. In those days, a widow, there was widows that died in famine-struck places because there was no one to care for her. The man was the main breadwinner in that society. Loses the two son-in-laws, now she's left with two sons, now she's left with two daughter-in-laws. She's devastated. I've got nothing here in Moab, she says. I got nothing here. And she hears that in Bethlehem, Judah, her home, that God has opened the doors and there's food there. So she decides to take her two daughters-in-law, and I'm picturing she comes together with her two daughters-in-law and she says, I'm going to go back to my home country. I have nothing here. Nothing of value. But as she thinks about it, she says, you know what? These two girls, they have a future. They're from here. They have a future here. So she says, you know what? You two girls stay here. She knows the God of Israel and she tells them to go back to their gods and to their families. Kind of not really the right thing to do in one way, but she was reacting on the fact that she would never bring them a line, never bring them children. She couldn't have another son. They would be way too old by the time that son was grown. And so she convinces the one to go, and here we have Ruth. The character of Ruth. She says, no, Naomi. I'm a Moabite, but I'm your daughter-in-law. And where you're going to go, I'm going to go. Everything about you, I'm going to be part of. I'm going to move back to that country that I don't know the people, but I want to be with you. What devotion. What dedication. Determination to stay with her mother-in-law and to go back to a country she knew nothing about. And so that's what she does. She goes back with Naomi, back to Bethlehem, Judah, where there's food. They still don't have much. They still don't have a provider. So when they get back there, the women of the town recognize who Naomi was. She was gone for 10 years. And they welcome her and they say, you're back. She says, yeah, but I'm bitter. And she wants to be called Mara, which is called bitter. And her name really meant pleasant. But she wanted to be known as bitter because she was bitter. She had lost everything. She comes back to Israel, or to Bethlehem, Judah. So Ruth, being the determined daughter-in-law and committed to Naomi, says, I'm going to go and I'm going to find food. And she goes to the fields and their harvest. It's the beginning of harvest. And the idea was in those days that those that were harvesting the fields, if the things that were left over, people were allowed to come behind. The poor were allowed to come behind and pick up whatever was left. And so Ruth does this. The first day she comes back with 5 days worth or something like that of food. She worked hard. During that time, Boaz, who is the owner of the field in which Ruth came to, you guys all know the story, but just bear with me because I'm going to try to go through it and then we're going to pick a few things about Ruth and Boaz primarily. They're the primary characters. So here we have Boaz and he comes and he addresses the servants of the field. He's got a relationship with those people that work for him. He says he blesses them, but he takes notice of this Moabite girl. And he says, who is she? Now my guess, well, it says in our passage eventually that he called her his daughter or addressed her as daughter, so he was quite a bit older than Ruth. It'd go Wayne. But he takes notice of her. a younger woman. She takes notice of her. He says, you know what? He goes right to her and he says, he recognizes her as a foreign girl from a foreign country, and she's in his field. And he says, you stay in this field. Don't go anywhere else. I'll protect you. When my guys go, when the women stop for a drink, you're welcome to stop with them. And he has a protective hand. He took notice of her. He took notice of Ruth. And Ruth was overwhelmed by the kindness of Boaz. I don't know how that all was starting to come together, whether they saw something in each other. I don't know that. It doesn't really say at this point in the story, but she continues to glean in Boaz's field. And Boaz now tells those that are reaping, he says, leave a little bit behind. Drop things behind. And so she comes with even more food for Naomi and her. And so Naomi questions Ruth, and she says, whose field are you gleaning from? She's maybe thinking, man, you've got a lot of food here. How can that be? You've only gone for the day, and you've got all this food. And eventually, through time, they realize that Boaz is a relative of Elimelech. Doesn't say what relation there is there, but he's a relative. And the idea of a kinsman redeemer. And the idea of a kinsman redeemer is that if a husband dies in a relationship, then a relative has a reserved right to marry that person, that widow, and to carry on the line so that they could have children and carry on that line, that family line. And so Naomi recognizes that Boaz is a relative. So she's in her mind thinking, I'm guessing, this is a great thing. Maybe, with all the hardships we've gone through, maybe Boaz will redeem Ruth. So they start to plan to make it known to Boaz that he is actually a relative. And so she tells Ruth to go to the threshing floor a particular night in which he was taking the harvest, and it was at the end of harvest, and she knew that Boaz would be present, the owner of the field would be present, and he would get the grain. They would basically go to the center of the field and throw the wheat up, and the chaff would blow away, and basically it was a process, a long process. But at the end of the night, Boaz is tired, and he lies down by this pile of wheat that they had gotten that evening, the threshing floor. And so the custom was that Ruth would go, and so Boaz falls asleep, and Ruth would go, and this was almost a proposal. So in reality, if my understanding is that Ruth, through the process, this customary process, she would go and she would not lie with him, but lie close to him and lie underneath the corner of the blanket, so to speak, that he was under. There was no sexuality going on. But this was a sign telling Boaz that he was a kinsman redeemer. And so Boaz wakes up and is startled by this woman at his feet. And so Ruth makes known to him, you're my kinsman redeemer. Boaz understands this to be the truth, but he says, you know what? As an honorable man, I have to say, and he finds out that there is a near kinsman, someone that is a little bit closer, that was able to redeem Ruth before he would have the opportunity to do so. My guess is there had been a relationship had already started. There was, Boaz had noticed Ruth, Ruth had noticed Boaz, a relationship, something kindled. Something was kindled, but Boaz, being the honorable man, said, no, there's a near kinsman, someone closer that has the right to redeem you and Naomi and the family line. And so he says, you sit tight. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go the next day, I guess it was. I believe it was the next day. And he says, I'm going to go to the elders of the city. I'm going to approach this guy. I'm going to tell him that he has an opportunity to redeem you. So that's exactly what he does. Boaz goes. He talks to this guy. He says, you know what? You're a near kinsman. You have an opportunity to carry on the line of Elimelech by taking on his buying his land and marrying into that family. He says, I'll do it. But he says also, there's a Moabite daughter-in-law that comes along with the package. He says, well, if I marry her, the inheritance to my children will be marred, because she'll become the first to inherit. And so he says, I cannot redeem her. And as we know, the story goes, Boaz is second in line. He marries Ruth. I'm sure there's lots of details that are said in this here, but that's basically the story of the book of Ruth. Why would God put this little four chapters in the canon of scriptures? A love story. Well, it says the timeline in which this happened was in the book of Judges, when there was no king in Israel, and every man did as they chose. A dark period. I'm thinking more in lines of dating to start with. Guys, girls. First, guys. I think of the pursuit of a wife. Then I think of Ruth. You want to get a Ruth. I have a Ruth. You want to get a Ruth. She was determined to follow God. That's the number one thing. Where I'll go, she clave to Naomi. She showed great determination. She wanted to serve. I don't know whether she knew the God of Israel at the time. She certainly got to know him, but she says, you know what? Naomi, you have something that I desire. And she clave to him. She says, I want to serve the God that you serve. And she was determined. She gave up a lot. Very sacrificial woman. Ruth was a very sacrificial woman. She gave up everything. She was determined. She was devoted. Two D's. You want a determined woman that wants to serve God. You want a woman that's devoted to you, to the Lord. To the Lord, to you. Got that wrong. And she had a servant's heart. Look how she served her mother-in-law. Those are three things, guys, that you need to keep in mind when you're looking for a wife. And also, the pursuit of wife. I look at her life, Ruth's life. She wasn't chasing after a husband. She was just devoted to God. And God brought Boaz into her life. She had no idea that there was a kinsman redeemer. She had no idea that the one who had first rights would refuse, and she had no idea that when she went to the field in devotion to Naomi, that she went into Boaz's field. She could have went into any field, but she didn't. It was all in the providence of God. God was over it all, but Ruth was determined to serve. Girls, you're looking for a man? Be patient. Let God work out the details. He did it in this godly woman's life, Ruth. Ruth wasn't in a rush. It actually says in the passage, somewheres, that you didn't chase after young men. Boaz recognized this. And Boaz was the perfect gentleman. Women don't settle for anything less than a perfect gentleman. Kelly did, and she's working on me, but you want a gentleman. You want someone that has integrity and that is honorable. That's what you want. And don't settle for anything less than that. I think one of the reasons why Ruth is in the canon of Scripture is for the dating purpose. I could be wrong, but that's what I see. Ruth is an example of an exemplary woman of God. Boaz is a picture of an honorable man with integrity. I haven't even looked at my notes. I don't know where I am. Just excuse me for a minute. I'm just going to try to find a few things that I want to. It's 7:30. I'm going to end with, I think I might have said a lot of the things that I had already written in my notes. The lessons we can learn from the book of Ruth. There's a lot of lessons. I'm touching the edge. There's types. Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus. Let me just share those four things that he is related to as a type of the Lord Jesus. He was related to the individual. Boaz was related to Ruth. The Lord Jesus, how is he related to us? He took on human flesh. Boaz was able to pay the price of redemption. The Lord Jesus was able to pay because why? He was sinless. Able to pay the price, willing to pay the price. The first kinsman, the near kinsman, he wasn't willing. It would cost him too much. It would cost him the inheritance of his children. The Lord Jesus was willing. Not only was he able, he was willing, and so was Boaz. Just types. We can only take types so far, but these are similarities that we can take from this. He was willing to marry the widow. Ruth is a picture of the church. She was a Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. She was a foreigner. She had no claim on anything that Boaz could offer. She had no claim on it. She was at his mercy, wasn't she? She happened to be in the field, but she had no claim on it. But when she understood that he was he could redeem her, then she pursued him, and he pursued her. I am thankful that God never gave up on me. I was down and out in sin, and he never gave up on me. And I started to pursue him, and he pursued me. Great picture of redemption. Lessons. God was working in every circumstance, and in the end, the line of Elimelech was preserved, which eventually was the line in which Lord Jesus was born. Crumb, no Kleenex. I told Kelly, I said, I don't get emotional with this message. This is just a ministry message. God's ways are not our ways is another lesson. God's ways are not our ways. Think of the life of Ruth. Think of her life, the hardships, death, starvation, having to provide for herself. It wasn't a very easy road. But at the end, she was redeemed. She ended up. Had she never made the decision to go back with Naomi, she never would have been redeemed. God is over all the circumstances. So in 2020, in the past year, the hardships, can you see God's hand in it? You may not see that right now, but God's hand is on us. He's for us. He is our Redeemer. He cares for us. Thank you, Merle. And I just wrote this, in all circumstances, be faithful to God. In all circumstances, good and bad. Because he is faithful. God is faithful. If you are saved here tonight, he is your Redeemer. And he is faithful in all circumstances of life. We're affected by the same things the unsaved are affected with. But you know what? In his providence, he has a plan. And the hardship that you may incur in the past year or in the years to come are all part of his plan to mold us and shape us to be more like his son. Young people, don't be in a rush to find a life mate. Don't be in a rush. God has the perfect person for you. He has a plan. He knows the perfect one. So if you're pounding ahead, you may miss out on that. You might get married. That all might happen. But God has a perfect plan, a perfect spouse, the one person for you. Do you believe that? Do you guys and girls believe that God has the perfect one for you? He certainly did for Ruth. Boaz, the Redeemer. I wrote this down. Be faithful to your spouse, your girlfriend, your husband, and be committed fully to what is honorable and right. Ruth was a Gentile foreigner, not deserving of all the grace she received. We didn't deserve the salvation that God provided for us. I look at my life, and oftentimes I feel that I'm not pursuing God. Have you ever gone week after week, maybe, and never read your Bible? Come to the breaking of bread. Go through the motions. Maybe even get up and pray and feel that it's just empty. I'll be honest with you. That happens to me. Why? God has not moved. I've stopped pursuing Him. I haven't lost my salvation, but I certainly lost the joy of it. Continue to pursue God. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for this little love story. I am no great speaker on this little story, but Father, there's so much in it. We think of the example of Ruth and of Boaz, the picture of the Lord Jesus, as He is our Redeemer. He had bought us. He has bought us with His own blood. And so, Father, I encourage the young people here to pursue God first and foremost, and He'll take care of all the rest. Father, may this resonate with someone here tonight. And Father, we are thankful for the salvation that was brought to us. We were outside the camp, so to speak. We were without hope. And God pursued us. Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus tonight, and we pray these things in His name. Amen.